Well, unfortunately, when the independent panel came out with their report in January of 2015, in the section of the report where they make recommendations around the use of best available technology, they used an example of best available technology, and that was dry stack tailings. And they made reference to the Greens Creek mine here in Alaska. And when I say unfortunate, not really unfortunate from my perspective, but unfortunate from the perspective of the three geotechnical experts who were on the panel, I've since received a letter from one of those experts. He's the head of the mine engineering faculty at the University of British Columbia. His name is Dirk Van Zeel. He has a PhD in geotechnical engineering, essentially saying, you know, best available, and I'll quote, best available technology is not a single technology. There is a selection that has to take place that you base on site-specific risk management process. In other words, you're looking at what kind of rock there is at the mine, for example. If it's potentially acid-generating, there may, in fact, be a need to put that rock underwater so that the acid is neutralized. That is not dry stack. That's the more traditional method of managing tailings. So unfortunately, there is a sense or an impression out there that dry stack tailing is the only way to get best available technology, and that's just not the case.
Is it the conclusion in your agency that what happened at Mount Polley was site-specific, that the problems with what was under the dam and the angle of the dam and the amount of water was really the problem, and that's not something that's going to be repeated elsewhere?
I don't think we would take the position that, you know, it's not possible for that sort of accident to happen anywhere else, because the independent panel stated the cause of the accident was a failure by the original design engineers to pick up on the fact that there was this unstable material underneath the foundation of the dam. So the original design didn't account for that unstable material. And you know, theoretically, human error can happen in any situation. So what we're doing is we're working with the engineering profession, with the mining industry, with the universities and so forth, to reduce the risk from the way that we design and apply our policy and the way we design and apply our regulations. So you can actually increase what's known as the factor of safety and decrease the factor of risk by taking certain actions.
So the new standards being developed or updated standards, will those be required of mines that have already been permitted but the building hasn't started?
The short answer is yes. If a mine has not been constructed yet, they will absolutely have to comply with the new regulations. But we will follow the advice of the independent panel in the sense that mines that already exist have to depend on best practices and more supervision, more inspections, and that's already in place. We put that in place within 6 months of this accident. So we think we have responded to the Mount Polley accident in a very robust and responsible way. Mount Polley is not part of a pattern of bad behavior, as some folks have suggested. We have a good record in the province aside from Mount Polley. We just need to make sure that it never happens again.
The dry stack tailings option, is there a place for that in BC mines? Do you see a situation where that would be advantageous?
Dry stack tailings will be incorporated in some of the new projects in BC, I have no doubt. The way it's going to work, again, we're following the advice of the independent panel. We require companies now to show us that they have considered all of the best available technologies for tailing storage. We've always done that in the past, but now we are holding their feet to the fire a little more, to the extent that we want the detail. We want you to show us how you examine the relative merits of various ways of managing tailing. So if you say to us, oh no, dry stack doesn't work for us, fair enough, but you have to prove to us that that is in fact the case. And cost cannot be the only driving factor in this. As the panel said, you know, there cost can't drive values and protection of the environment.
The groups on this side of the border that are expressing their concerns or opposition talk about the issue with tailings dams and how long they can last. Are you confident that these tailings dams can be built to last hundreds, if not thousands, of years?
I think there's a misperception that when a tailings storage facility is approved, that designed tailings storage facility is going to have to last in perpetuity. When a mine is approved, and I know the rules are the same here in the U.S. as they are in Canada, the mining company has to include a plan for closure and for remediation. So typically what happens is over a period of time, those tailing storage facilities get capped with impervious material. A plan is made for dealing with water that runs over the site in the future, and those dams are not left to stand forever and ever holding back water. That's not typically what happens.